One of Port Fairy's most famous ghosts is Claire Lydiard, who tragically drowned in Belfast Lock on the 27th of June, 1898. It was the day before her 17th birthday. George Lydiard was a wealthy, respected landowner in the district, and Claire was his youngest daughter. She was one of four children. On the day of her death, Claire had gone out in a small boat to pick watercress from the Moyne River. When she did not return by nightfall, her sister went to look for her and found the boat empty. A hat and an oar were floating nearby on the surface of the water. Claire's sister raised the alarm and a party of residents began a search of the river. A newspaper report describes the search and eventual retrieval of Claire's body in about 8 feet of water, using a garden rake attached to a pole. Although efforts were made to restore life, it was hopeless, and Claire was described as being perfectly dead. It was surmised that Claire had overbalanced and fallen into the river while reaching for watercress. Her bulky winter clothing would have weighed her down, and her survival was also hampered by the fact she couldn't swim. Claire's body was taken to a nearby bluestone cottage owned by the mill manager and laid out on a table there. George Lydiard had left his property only hours earlier on business, and a messenger was sent to bring him back. Claire's mother had been shopping for birthday presents for her daughter in Port Fairy, and the tragic news reached her as she was driving home. Claire's funeral at St. John's Church was reported as the largest held in Port Fairy for many years. The Lydiard family eventually sold their property and moved away from the district as a result of this traumatic event. There are several stories about a female ghost at the cottage where Claire's body was taken, but the most compelling is from a former owner, Dot McPherson. Dot is no longer alive, but her daughter Anne has given us permission to read an excerpt from a letter her mother wrote about encounters with the ghost. Dot was a former school teacher, so the letter is quite eloquent. We decided to begin work on one of the back bedrooms so that we would be able to stay overnight when we had a few days' work to do. The first night we stayed at the house, I was woken by a strange light which appeared to move into the room from the doorway. I was puzzled but not afraid and tried to find a logical explanation. Was it a reflection from the car lights on a back road along the coast? I did notice it was very cold and pulled on another blanket. I thought no more of it and was rather surprised when exactly the same thing happened the next night, but this time saw clearly the form of a woman in a long dress and a cap of some sort on her head. I called out, "Is that you, Mum?" but knew it was not. I decided I had been dreaming and asked my husband if I had called out. He replied, "Yes, you called out to your mother." I looked at the time, it was 2:40 a.m. The next night we slept there, exactly the same thing happened. This time I had a much clearer picture of the woman, who was quite young and very pleasant looking, smiling and cheerful. This time I asked, "Is that you, Anne?" my daughter away at university, although I knew it was not Anne. This appeared to amuse the visitor and she laughed. Again it seemed very cold and the time was 2:40 a.m. I did not discuss the appearances with anybody and my husband hadn't seen anything unusual. I don't know that I really believed in ghosts, and if I had thought of them, imagined them as old, bony, horrible looking and scary. None of this fitted the young lady I had seen. A few weeks later, Anne came home for the weekend, so we put her into the same room, which was to be hers when renovations were complete. We slept in another room and were awakened by Anne calling out, "Mum, there's someone in my bedroom and she's sitting on the end of my bed." As I had mentioned nothing of my previous experiences, I hastened to reassure her and persuaded her she had been dreaming. I didn't need to check the time. It was 2:40 a.m. The letter continues with Dot describing how she identified the ghost in the cottage as belonging to Claire Lydiard. Dot was involved with the Port Fairy Historical Society at the time. She was intrigued when a child's wooden chair was donated to the society with the information it had been carved for a girl from Rosebrook who had drowned in Belfast Lock. A name and address were supplied, so Dot decided to follow it up. The donor proved to be an elderly woman, aged 90, who was living at Wangoom. She had been a friend of Claire's as a child and was given the chair as a keepsake after Claire's tragic drowning. The lady had lived in the cottage now owned by Dot for over 80 years. Her father had been the mill manager, and she had often visited the big house with him when he went there on business. Although there was a big age difference between Claire and herself, they struck up a close friendship. She said the Lydiard children were quite lonely. They were educated at home by a governess and didn't mix much with the locals. Claire shared her toys with her and made her a wardrobe of doll's clothes. She also used to read her stories. There are several bluestone cottages near the Belfast Lock that are all privately owned, so please do not try to find the location of the cottage in question. Claire's body was recovered just beyond Rosebrook Bridge, so this is the closest we can get you. The photo we have included was taken in 1946 when the original bridge washed away in a flood. It was rebuilt and the new bridge opened in 1950. The river may be low when you cross the bridge, but you can see from the photo how treacherous it can be at times. Lastly, we were lucky to run into Dot's daughter Anne in 2023, and she kindly gave her version of events described in the letter. So if you are interested in reading the rest of Dot's letter and Anne's interview, you can do so in our book of ghost stories.